The back rubs didn't really solve the erection issue, but Ronan turned a little fanatical about them anyway. Truthfully, Rodney didn't mind. There was something about having all the power of Ronan's body spread out underneath him, lax and longing for Rodney's hands. Rodney had never felt so physically powerful in his life. Afterward, when he rolled Ronan over and gave him lazy, non-goal-oriented head, he liked to reach up and put his hands over Ronan's chest, where he could feel Ronan's heart pounding in the cuff of his palms. He tried not to overanalyze, not to worry too much, but sometimes he had to stop and assess, to look up at Ronan and say, "Is this okay? Do you want something else?" Ronan's eyes fluttered open, and he ran his hand slowly from Rodney's shoulder all the way to his wrist, where it rested against Ronan's body. "It's good," he said, "but maybe something where I can see you better." That was adorably diplomatic, Rodney thought. He crawled up to lie against Ronan and kissed the sensitive spot just behind Ronan's ear. "I don't know if I've ever been with anybody who tried this hard to stroke my ego," Rodney said. "You're not half as mean as you like people to think you are." "Could say the same about you," Ronan said. "But I'm not trying to stroke your ego." "I know I'm nothing special to look at," Rodney blurted, surprised at the ragged little edge to his own voice. "But you never make me feel that way." Ronan hooked one leg over Rodney's and ran a hand along Rodney's back. "You look good to me," he said. "I like your shoulders. I like your hands. I like your thighs. I have a thing about nice, broad shoulders. I like yours." "You said that already." "Well, I have a thing. You have weird blind spots about yourself. I don't know how you got that way, but what you see, it's not the same thing I see. When I first met you, I thought it was too bad you were so annoying and cowardly, because you had a really nice body." "Is thank you the appropriate? Don't get snitty. I changed my mind about the rest of it." It was a very appealing story. Rodney wanted to believe that it happened exactly like that, with Ronan trying to ignore some kind of mad sexual attraction from day one, and slowly adjusting to Rodney's admittedly somewhat challenging style of personal expression, until the night he threw caution to the wind, loaded up on 40-proof courage, and gave in to unrestrained passion. That sounded amazing. He might have believed it if it weren't for the absolute, verifiable scientific fact that lots of things Rodney said and did made Ronan smile. But nothing about him, not even his broad shoulders, made Ronan hard. Not that being able to attract gorgeous and willing sexual partners with nothing but his sheer brilliance and force of personality wasn't all well and good. People had been promising Rodney for most of his life that brilliance and personality were potent aphrodisiacs, but Ronan was the first tangible evidence Rodney had ever had in support of that theory. He was hardly going to complain. He wasn't going to complain. This was what he had, and it was Ronan. He wasn't going to say anything at all that might bring whatever this was to an end. Not yet. Rodney was much, much too selfish a person for that. Rodney kissed the small constellation of moles on Ronan's face. "Well, I'm nothing to look at next to you, anyway." "I'm kind of used to that," Ronan said, entirely matter of fact. "I never expected everyone to look like me." It came as a bit of a shock to Rodney. Ronan was usually shy about compliments, to the point of prudishness. Rodney didn't think he'd ever heard Ronan admit that he was as extraordinary as everyone knew he was. "Really?" Rodney teased. "The way you talk about Sadea, I just assumed everyone was 10 feet tall and looked like a movie star, and could kill me with their elbow." Ronan grinned at him and said, "Well, yeah and no. Maybe the part about the elbows, yeah. But even in the infantry, it's not like everyone is... It's not easy to get into the infantry and stay in. Sedaean soldiers were really brave and dedicated, and our training was the best in the galaxy. But I was always, you know, taller. Taller, Rodney repeated, smiling fondly at his lover. Stronger, faster, prettier, better. Ronan's cheeks flushed just a little bit darker than before, but he didn't deny it. I was the youngest specialist in more than 200 years, he admitted softly. My parents won a bunch of awards.
Your parents?
On Sedaea, it's considered really vain to accept honours for yourself. At the same time, Rodney and Ronan both glanced involuntarily at the bank of diplomas on Rodney's wall, then back at each other, and cracked up laughing. Rodney rolled off and found a comfortable position alongside Ronan as they settled back down, sharing a pillow with their foreheads almost touching. Rodney pushed back Ronan's hair so he could see his face. Unmarried soldiers got their award sent home to their parents, Ronan said. They're the reason you grow up right, anyway. Rodney said, noncommittal. He'd spent far too many years trying to detach himself from the legacy of his father's failed theories and wasted genius to be ready to buy into that entirely. Did your parents put them up on the walls? The mantle, he said. The shadow of loss was on his face again, but he wore it more softly than usual, and Rodney decided he didn't need saving or distracting right now. Maybe he needed to talk. They're little medal things. Soldiers who earn 50 during their career are designated war heroes. They get a special burial, a monument. My folks have 7. When you're married, they present your awards to your partner instead of your parents, and I told Milena that if she married me, I'd make her a war hero's partner in 20 years. I thought, nobody does it that fast, but I thought I could do anything, back then. Rodney was far from sure he'd been wrong about that. Did she believe you when you said that? Was she the medical school girl? Yeah, she was the medical school. Well, the doctor. She was older than me. She was a doctor by then. I don't know if she believed me or not, but I guess she figured there was only one way to find out. Rodney took a careful, steadying breath. This was possibly their very first serious relationship conversation, so it was no time to rely on his instincts. I didn't know you were married, he said. And then he said, weren't you a little young to be married? Aren't you a little old, never to have been? Ronan said shortly, and Rodney didn't object. That was the very least he deserved. Stupid instincts. Anyway, I wasn't, Ronan said more gently. Our wedding was 10 weeks away. We were supposed to... 10 weeks. In spite of his best, most sincere efforts, Rodney couldn't figure out what the right thing to say was. At last, he decided, screw it, he'd just stick with the stupid truth, as per usual. I find it very strange to think of you with a woman. Ronan's eyebrows shot up, so apparently it was at least a successful diversionary tactic. Well, it's that super buff Sedaean warrior thing you put across. I guess I was possibly imagining more sweaty, testosterone-fueled sport-fucking in the barracks. Lots of manly bonding and competitiveness and great abs. That's what you're imagining, huh? Ronan said with a half smile. Possibly, Rodney allowed. You'd have been disappointed. Sedaea isn't, believe me, there's a lot more sport fucking in Atlantis. Things were stricter back home. It's a hard world, you know. We were encouraged to marry young and stay married. There's a lot of stuff in life that nobody should have to go through alone. Families support you. That's what we were raised to believe, at least. Was this still the relationship conversation? And were they talking about marriage, or talking about marriage? It seemed a little early for that, but Rodney didn't have commitment issues per se. At his age, which Ronan had so kindly called attention to,
Rodney was rapidly coming to the point where maybe, someday, didn't cut it anymore. He was either going to get serious about meeting someone and settling down, or he was going to have to admit to himself that he was never going to find room in his life for that. He'd tried to explain that to Katie, in fact. That conversation hadn't gone so well. But then, Katie hadn't been the one to bring it up. So this time was different? I've been thinking a lot about families, he said. Since I've been talking to Jeannie, it's more at the forefront, you know. I feel like I've missed out on a lot already in that department. And I wonder, well, she's so happy. And she's my sister, so we must be at least a little bit alike. I don't know if it would make me that happy, having what she has, but maybe it would. Jeannie's nice, Ronan said, which was completely uninformative. I just know what you mean, about getting through things more easily if you have family around you. There, that felt like a nice balance. Enough to let Ronan know that he was open to the possibility, just to let any potential seed start to germinate. He was all set to let it go at that, when he was temporarily possessed, possibly by the same demonic power that prompted him to have copies made of his and Katie's DNA schematics, so he could show her how few serious genetic defects their children would be prone to. People said that women loved babies, but apparently not always. I just think it's a little bit early in the relationship for us to be discussing marriage. Ronan's eyes widened slightly. Were we discussing? No, apparently. Rodney said. No, apparently. I don't think a few weeks is really enough time to start, Ronan said. I agree, that was my point. We're in complete agreement here. God, we haven't even told anybody that we're sleeping together yet. Ronan gave him a blank look. Are we supposed to announce it? No, we wouldn't have to announce it exactly. It's just, can you imagine what a shock it would be if we were to suddenly turn up engaged to each other, when nobody even knows we're involved? Who doesn't know? Nobody, unless you've told someone. Well, Shepherd and Taylor know. They were at the party. A lot of people were at that party. I didn't have to tell anyone because everyone knows. No, but almost everyone was already gone when we left together, and yeah, but they were there the rest of the night while we were feeling each other up. We were not feeling each other up. Shepherd and Taylor could probably tell, because they know us both very well. They have a special connection to us, but the rest, we were just talking. McKay, everybody knows about us. No, we were just talking, and maybe touching, but we do that all the time anyway. Well, not all the time, but we do that. We have in the past, friendly, platonic team touching. How? There was nothing to see. Nobody knows about us. Nobody doesn't know about us. You didn't know that? That's just not a fair rumour for people to start. Can't one friend touch another friend without the whole city gossiping about it for weeks afterward? I can have friends. It is within the realm of possibility. It's kind of a fair rumour for people to start, since it's true. I would have expected someone to say something, that's all, Rodney said. Congratulations. A little pat on the back. Gee, Dr. McKay, we're all pretty amazed by your obvious desirability and prowess. Hard to believe we didn't notice it all this time. Of course, I can see how that might be an awkward admission, he said, feeling a little better the longer he thought about it. Most people I work with aren't very good at admitting their mistakes. Keep staff meetings interesting, I'll tell you that much. And anyway, they're clearly jealous. Because why wouldn't they be? I suppose it's understandable. Ronan rolled over on his back, dragging Rodney awkwardly along with him, arching his spine and yawning. Plus, people are pretty good around here about minding their own business. Shepherd told me there's even a rule about it. A privacy rule? What's that called? don't ask and I won't tell. I think that's a nice rule to have, with this many people living in a little space. That is not a nice rule. That is the US military policy of enforced discrimination against the arbitrary types of sexual behaviour that the village elders have decreed should be banned for no particular purpose except to ruin people's lives. You and I are opposed to don't ask, don't tell. Oh, Vernon said, we are. I just thought it was for letting me go around without people asking me a bunch of weird questions in the mess hall. Why are you in such a bad mood? Is it true you're fucking Dr. McKay? That kind of stuff. No. That rule is called, I have knives in my hair. Because guess what? No one has any trouble asking me weird, intrusive questions in the mess hall. Like, do you really think you need two of those? And what on earth did you say to poor Katie? Vernon thought about that for a moment and then said, you need me to stab anyone for you? You just come let me know. Which Rodney really thought went without saying, but he appreciated it anyway. Are you going to sleep? He asked. Eventually, Vernon said, I could suck you off first, if you want though. For a moment, Rodney found it impossible to speak. He wasn't sure if that was the kind of comfortably marital taking for granted that one theoretically aspired to in a relationship, or if... It wasn't an afterthought to Rodney, the chemistry thing. It wasn't optional, or convenient, or routine maintenance. And he could barely get through his day at work sometimes without drifting off, thinking about the way Ronan's arms felt wrapped around him, with his face pressed into Rodney's neck, or the way his mouth tasted, or what it was like to come in Ronan's mouth, his hard, deft fingers in Rodney's arse, coaxing wave after wave of sensation through his whole body. He wished to God he knew exactly what it was to Roman. Would you mind? He asked hesitantly. Ronan smiled easily and used one leg to flip Rodney onto his back, so that before he had time to blink, he was staring up into Ronan's dangerous, shining eyes. Not at all, Ronan said huskily. And Rodney closed his eyes as Ronan started kissing the clearest, most direct path possible from his collarbone down to his cock. He didn't want to worry. He didn't want to think about anything. He just wanted to enjoy every moment of this for all it was worth. He didn't want to fall in love with someone that he didn't have the slightest idea how to satisfy in bed. He didn't want to lose Ronan. He made a small, almost pained noise as Ronan wrapped his hand around the base of his dick and took the rest gradually into his mouth. Rodney put his hands lightly on the back of Ronan's head and wanted fiercely to have the power to make Ronan feel half of what his most careless touch made Rodney feel. There were oh so many reasons to be worried about letting Ronan take him to see a movie called Flesh Gordon 2, Flesh Gordon Meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders. But strangely, it never occurred to Rodney to worry about the plot. It frankly never occurred to him there would be a plot. Let me spell this out for you in very small words, Rodney told Colonel Shepherd, who looked much more cheerful than anyone had a right to look, coming back from a week-long field training exercise on a pitiful mud ball of an uninhabited planet with 20 marines. Shouldn't that kind of thing sap a man's will to live? But Shepherd appeared, God help them all, to have bonded with his brothers in uniform over the past week. Even, Rodney supposed, the ones responsible for his twisted ankle and the spectacular cut across his forehead. I'm not going to spend my boyfriend's first night home in 6 days watching a porno with half the United States Marine Corps. It's not really a porno, Shepherd said, laboriously trying for the 15,000th time to get his bootlaces loose enough that he could fit the shoe over his bandaged foot. Movie, hell, they wouldn't even get out of the infirmary until next weekend at this rate. It's just a dumb spoof. It's funny. So bad it's good, you know. I'm willing to bet good money that it's so bad it's bad, and I have better things to do, by which I mean practically anything.
Listen, Rodney, Shepherd said with unexpected seriousness. Ronan was pretty nervous about helping me run this survival exercise. He's still an outsider here to everyone but our team, and you know it. He did a great job. I'm sure he won't tell you that in so many words, but he did. He earned a lot of cred this week, and there's no reason he should miss the party tonight.
Oh, it's a party now.
Yes, it's a party.
It's a Back on Atlantis We Survived survival party. And this is how soldiers do things. They almost get themselves killed together, and then they get drunk and watch dumb movies about slutty extraterrestrial cheerleaders together. And that's the difference between these guys and someone who just thinks his role in life is to slug his way through fight after fight until he gets killed. Jesus fuck, Rodney. Let him be part of a unit again. This is what he should have been doing all along.
That made a certain stupid macho sort of sense.
I shouldn't go, though, Rodney said.
I see what you... Fine. But this isn't about me.
A lot of other people are coming. It won't matter. He wants you to come. And I think it'd be good for both of you to see him fitting in for once. You don't have to make a huge deal out of it. I'm taking Taylor. I'm not taking Taylor. Lots of people are taking, bringing, going with friends. Friends who are...
Oh, for God's sake, stop, Rodney said.
I understand. It's just another evening in your excruciatingly, torturously platonic mutual obsession with Taylor. I won't ascribe undue meaning to any of it.
Nobody is obsessed with anybody.
Of course not.
Have you ever considered just telling her how you feel?
As soon as it was out of his mouth, Rodney realized the essential stupidity of the question. Of course Shepherd hadn't considered telling her how he felt. The very concept was laughable.
Shepherd didn't look like he was laughing.
Gee, Rodney, he said. I thought about getting her really, really drunk in public and then dragging her off by the hair. But that doesn't work on everyone as well as it does on you.
It was nice to know for sure that at least somebody was properly envious.
The porno party was as heavily attended as Shepherd had promised, much to Rodney's relief. He'd also been right about how everyone was suddenly treating Ronan with a rather charming mixture of camaraderie and respectful man-crush that was vaguely like, yet worlds better than, the cautious, compliant paranoia that Ronan usually engendered among the people he abused for a living. It was sweet to watch Ronan move around the room, his smile shifting between shy and sly and wolfish as he traded in-jokes and gave his expert opinion on complicated killing-related questions. Rodney stayed put, nursing his crappy American beer and feeling irrationally proud of Ronan and only very slightly annoyed that it had taken everyone but him so long to realise that Ronan was a person you wanted to have around you as much as possible. Everything was going fine, right up until the actual movie, which was not only not so bad it was good, just bad, thanks, but was also horrifically offensive to multiple-celled organisms of every variety. And, if you happened to be watching Ronan's face as he struggled to get the jokes, and then as he did get them, heartbreaking. Rodney had expected the plot of the movie would require Flesh Gordon to use his skills to save the cosmic cheerleaders, and that it wouldn't really involve tutoring them to raise their SAT scores. He'd been prepared for that much. But he really, really thought someone should have had the decency to warn him about the Galactic Impotence Ray. The impromptu MST3K commentary from the crowd was really only the painful cherry on top of the miserable, demoralising ice cream sundae of shame. Ronan made it all the way through the asteroid field and the totally gay-for-flesh massive penetrator, but Queen Frigid and the evil presence were a little much for him. "You laugh at the evil presence now, woman," declared the first person utilising Billen. "But once I get Gordon's sex hammer, you'll beg."
And that was right about enough for Ronan.
"I'm gonna go. This is boring," he said, as he stood up. But intentionally or not, he said it in that quiet, pissed-off voice of his, so that even the people around him didn't seem to hear or notice. Only Rodney, who hadn't been noticing anything else. If no one paid any attention to Ronan leaving, they certainly weren't going to stop the presses for Rodney's parting comments. But he still said, "Yes, well, it's late, so look at the time. How time flies." Nobody heard him, of course, except for Shepherd, who was watching everything with a dark, subtly furious expression, the one he always wore when he was contemplating going back in time and altering the timeline by shooting someone in the head. He smiled tightly at Rodney in a way that Rodney thought meant, "Sorry for talking you into this, I honestly didn't realize." Rodney nodded, because he didn't really have a lot of time to be pissed off at Shepherd right now. And anyway, if he were going to be pissed off, he had the solace of revenge already, because this movie was totally going to get Shepherd back 2 years with Taylor. He caught up to Ronan in the transporter. "We should talk," he said, overriding the directional component to take them to his own quarters instead of Ronan's. Ronan didn't agree, but he didn't argue either. He just stood there, his whole body tense and broadcasting the restrained desire to cause someone grievous harm. The exact same signals Shepherd had been broadcasting, only 10 times more so. Nobody that Rodney knew hid his reactions better than Shepherd. Nobody he knew, short of himself, hid them as badly as Ronan. Rodney didn't know what he expected, but it certainly was not to be put on the defensive the moment they were safely in private. "You could have told me," Ronan said. "You could have fucking told me how you felt." "How I? I didn't feel, don't feel any. That had nothing to do with how I feel. Absolutely nothing." "So it's just the rest of your people who think I'm inadequate, who'd laugh at me if they knew." "Those are not my people," Rodney shouted, waving his hands. Lovely. They'd reached the shouting stage very early in this fight. Hell, Rodney hadn't even figured out why they were fighting, and the shouting was already well underway. "Those aren't anyone's people. Haven't we already talked about how movie people are not like real people? Even real Earth people." "What about the people watching it?" Ronan said. It was a point in his favour, and he knew it perfectly well. Rodney sighed and sat down on the foot of his bed. "Look," he said. "The movie was... it was supposed to be funny. Absurd. So that's how they treated it. Anyone who knew, if anyone knew that you were really going through something, they wouldn't laugh at you. They'd feel sorry." "Oh, and maybe that wasn't the best defense in the world, come to think of it." Ronan narrowed his eyes. "I don't need anyone's pity, and I definitely don't need it from a bunch of fucking lanterns." "Well, hey now," Rodney said feebly. "There's really no reason to get ethnic about it." "I know people from different worlds are different, and I know I'm supposed to respect other cultures and everything, but I'm sorry, it's not always easy. And I really fucking hate how your people talk about sex. It's wrong. The way you make it a joke, or you make it something, the way you can be with someone, be naked with someone, and it still doesn't mean anything. You don't even have to respect them. Forget about like them. And love. Do people where you come from even know what that means?" "Yes," Rodney said. You've just got a bad impression. Everything you know about us you learned from movies and the military and deeply, deeply unfulfilled single science geeks. And I can imagine how that makes us all look by association. But it's not all... we're not all... it can mean something to us too. It means something to... what you and I do. That means something to me. It means a lot." That seemed to help a little. Ronan still looked furious, but he looked slightly less ready to fly apart into a million pieces at a moment's notice. "You should have told me," he said. "I should have told you what? What should I have told you?" What this makes me, Ronan said, that I'm a joke. I'm pathetic. I'm half a man. Rodney could barely make his throat work, but he croaked out a helpless, no, anyway. We don't talk about this stuff where I come from, Ronan said, half angry and half wistful. Everybody's deciding what other people are supposed to. He shook his head. I know that where you come from, it doesn't count if I do all that stuff. But I thought since I could do pretty much the same thing with my hand, that would be close enough for you. I thought we were doing okay. And all the time you... No, all the time I wasn't, Rodney said, almost frantically. I wasn't thinking that. I never blamed you. Who are you going to believe, them or me? I never blamed you. I love your hands. I love getting all the head I could ever want from you. And the way you kiss. And if there are things you can't do for me, then nothing compared to what I can't do for you. I understand that. You're not pathetic, all right? You know what you do for me? You give me giant erections every time you touch me. And you make me come as hard as I've ever come in my life. So I think if we're going to start judging each other's bedroom prowess, you're starting from a distinct advantage. Ronan stared at him, frustration and confusion all over his face. You think I'm not getting hard because you're not good at sex? It didn't really sound like a question, but Rodney decided to treat it as one anyway. I don't know what I think, he admitted. I know I don't want you to leave me. Fuck, Ronan said, kicking over Rodney's desk chair for emphasis. But I also know I'm a selfish bastard for trying to keep you, and there's probably someone out there who has better chemistry with you, who knows what to do. Oh, fuck, Ronan said wearily. I don't know. I can't figure out what to even say to you right now. This has been such a long week, and I just don't... He scrubbed his hands over his face, and then ran them through his hair, seeming to brace himself for the inevitable. I don't want anyone else. I want to be with you. I don't know what you expect me to say. I'm not good at this, but I wouldn't be fucking you if I didn't like doing it. You're not fucking me, Rodney shouted. Somehow, he hadn't guessed that he'd be the one keeping them from moving out of the shouting phase. When did he get into the shouting spirit? I'm fucking you. Ronan crossed the room with such decisive strides that Rodney leaned back a little, instinctively, from his intensity. Ronan caught his face in both hands and bent his head back just enough to make Rodney look up at him. Rodney, he said, and Rodney didn't think he'd ever heard anyone say his name in quite that beseeching, exasperated tone. Okay, I'm slow. Explain this to me. What is this weird secret motive you think I have for what we do together? I didn't say secret motive. But you don't think I really want it. It's a little bit obvious, Rodney said. And it's not, I never said secret motive. But you said yourself, sex and affection. There's not that much difference for you. I know you like me. There's my sparkling wit, obviously, and honestly, I couldn't really begin to say why. But you do like me, and you're a very nice person, so... So what? Rodney shrugged. Part of him wanted to pull his head out of Ronan's grip, but most of him didn't think he could stand the symbolism of drawing away from Ronan's touch. He didn't have any idea at this point how many more times he'd get to have that. So... You sleep with me, even though I don't satisfy you in bed. Ronan stared at him for what seemed like a long time. Finally, unexpectedly, he cracked a very slight smile. I'm not that nice a person, he said. I don't know how to fix it, Rodney said. This is really not my area of expertise. Ronan paced over to the window and leaned his elbow on it, looking out for a minute. I want you to know, he finally said, still facing away from Rodney, that it's not something I expected you to fix, so you didn't let me down or anything like that.
Yes, but you can't interrupt me, Ronan said. This is hard. I can't think when you do that.
Sorry, Rodney said. He turned around, leaning back against the wall. Rodney couldn't look at his face without wanting to say a million jumbled things, so he looked straight forward, so he could only see Ronan out of the corner of his eye.
I don't talk a lot about the years I spent running, Ronan said. I don't know if anyone would really understand. I don't even think I want anyone to understand. It's not something you should have to carry around. You or anybody.
But I know, I'm sorry, I'll shut up, but I want to know about it. You may have noticed, I'm not good with the unknown. It's hard to... I need to... If you're going to be this big part of my life, then I need to know you. Everything.
I don't even know me, Ronan said. I mean, I know who I was before. But I changed. Not all at once. For a long time, I was pretty much the same person, just in a really bad situation. But then, after 2 or 3 years, I started changing. Things that used to matter didn't anymore. Things I used to know really well, I could barely remember. I slept different, I ate different, I moved different. My senses changed, my body changed, and I know who I turned into or what I turned into. I know exactly who I was when you met me. But I'm not. It's been a couple of years ago, and now I'm not really either of those people. It's not that I don't want you to know me. It's just...
Can I say something? Rodney asked.
No, Ronan said shortly. When I'm done. Sex is just a part of my life that got buried under everything else. I didn't think I'd ever feel safe again. And anyway, it made me think about stuff it was better to forget. It didn't go away overnight. It took a long time. Years. It's taking years to change back. I didn't care so much until I started to feel this way about you. Now I wish, if I could make myself change back faster, I would. And not as some kind of fucking favour to you. I want to be able to make love to you without a bunch of stuff in the way. All this stuff from my past. It's my stuff. It's got nothing to do with us or with you.
Can I say something?
The desperate note of smothered hysteria in his voice must have proved convincing, because Ronan smirked a little and said, "Fine, yes, say it." But then, perversely, Rodney realized that he didn't actually have anything to say. It was just too hard, listening to Ronan take all of this on himself. So instead he said, "Come here." Ronan hesitated. "Don't you... is that... you don't have something to say?"
"Why? Did you want to keep talking about this?"
"Not really."
"Then come here."
Ronan looked wary, but he did come closer. He sat down on the foot of the bed next to Rodney, and Rodney pulled his head down to brush his lips with a kiss. Ronan pulled back and looked at him, some kind of question in his eyes that he couldn't seem to find words for. Rodney put his arm around Ronan's shoulders and kissed him again on the side of his mouth and said, "Does that feel good?"
"Yes," Ronan said, his voice soft and hoarse.
"Feedback would be a very helpful thing," Rodney said. "Since the usual signs are a little scrambled, what you could do for me is, you could just tell me out loud, in a sentence, what's good for you."
"You," Ronan said even more softly, his eyes drifting closed.
Rodney touched his jaw and ran a thumb up the vein in his neck.
"This."
Which wasn't technically a sentence, but Rodney wasn't inclined to be picky about semantics. He kissed Ronan, throwing enough of his weight into it to ease Ronan down on his back. Ronan's lips parted under his, and he slid his hands under Rodney's shirt,
over his lower back. "Kiss my neck some more," Ronan suggested, when Rodney gave him space again, and Rodney took him up on that immediately. "And I still like your hand on my cock," he said, in a voice that made it hard for Rodney to keep his hand entirely steady as he worked the fastenings on Ronan's pants. "It feels really good." "There, you see," Rodney said, dragging the pants down Ronan's hips. "You're feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm not so sure there's really any room for improvement, frankly." "Don't get crazy," Ronan said with a faint little smile. "I still want." "And eventually," he murmured, dropping a kiss near his navel. "Someday, when that happens," he nipped, because Ronan could take it. "I'll expect to be given some kind of superhero name. Sadly, Mr. Fantastic is taken." He tossed Ronan's pants away and briefly took his cock into his mouth, lapping at it gently before releasing it. "But then, I do have 3 PhDs that I hate to see go to waste, so..." He gave the matter some thought while he rummaged under the blanket for the lube. "Maybe Dr. Fantastic. Dr. Amazing? Dr. Potent," he decided, smiling up at Ronan triumphantly while he slid his hand up the inside of Ronan's thigh. The master of sexual healing and his trusty sidekick, thoroughly satisfied guy. "Doctor, shut up and fuck me," Ronan growled. "I'll take it," Rodney said smugly. Ronan rolled his eyes, but Rodney wasn't about to let a little thing like that get in the way of great sex. And that's the end of Satisfaction by Heath and Carolyn.